This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk some Falcons football with our buddy Mark Raimondi, who covers the Falcons for ESPN. Mark, good to have you back on the show. We're trying to gear up for all the things that are going on with the Falcons, including the NFL draft. But we were just talking about this news of the Falcons bringing in potentially some competition for Younghoe Koo. What have you heard about that and Koo's situation? Is he going to be here? He's under contract, obviously. Is that something that we should be concerned about in the injuries that he had to deal with last year? Because he was inconsistent, to say the least.
Yeah, I think finding out that he was injured when he was going through some of those peaks and valleys, and you know, more valleys than he has been used to in his career, it was kind of illuminating, right? You know, we weren't sure at that point when he was missing those kicks, especially in the New Orleans game, right, at New Orleans, that he was injured. But then we find out that he was. So, you know, maybe that was why he was struggling at times as he was. But it seemed like in all of like the post, like kind of the end of season news conferences with Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot, it seemed pretty clear they were going to bring in competition at the kicker position for Koo, and it seems like they have as an international guy, this German guy, Lenny Krieg.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we're live at Twin Peaks talking to our buddy Mark Raimondi here to get you caught up on all the things that are going on with the Falcons.
Yeah, man. I know that Lenny Krieg was part of that international competition where they get guys mm-hmm. and give them a chance. Does he have a legitimate shot? And have they even went to Koo to ask him to maybe restructure?
Certainly possible. And we don't know if he has a shot. It seems like he has a really big leg, right? Now, right. That could translate right to success in the NFL. It has for some. It might not. So they'll probably give him a shot. You know, OTAs, you know, they'll bring it to camp and they'll see what the kid has got. He's 22 years old. But I think Koo will be on the team, and I still think that he's the incumbent, and maybe not so bad to have a guy that could push him a little bit.
So where are you at now with where we are on the calendar with the Cousins situation? We know he mm-hmm. came out last week and said, hey, I'm not going to do anything, waive my no trade until after the draft. I guess trying to protect himself. We get that. But where are you at with where this potentially is going to go? And do you still think that Cleveland is the team that's in play, Mark?
I find it really interesting because if that is true, that report that he's going to wait for after the draft, it's like if he wants out, right, what would be – I mean, I think at some point there has to be a realization that, look, he's guaranteed $100 million, right, from this contract, no matter what happens, pretty much. He is turning 37 years old later this year, right? Mm-hmm. At what point does he acknowledge the fact that, okay, he's good enough to play starting quarterback, but is he good enough and is he young enough to really be the guy that a team looks to for the next 3 to 5 years? I don't think so. Like, what team, you know, at this juncture in the NFL is going to say, Kirk Cousins, you're our quarterback of the present and of our future? I don't know if that team exists. So if he's waiting for that, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to find it. You guys get what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if there's a team out there that, you know, sure. I think that a lot of teams might see him as a bridge quarterback and as a guy that could possibly, I mean, honestly, kind of like the Falcons did last year. Didn't work out, right? Didn't work out for them. But, you know, the best laid plan was him, you know, coming to Atlanta, starting for two, you know, 1 to 2 years and giving way to Michael Penix Jr. 2 years would be the ideal because that's kind of when the guaranteed money was gone on his contract. But, you know, at age 37, even if it's 2 years removed from the torn Achilles, is there a team that sees Kirk Cousins as their quarterback in 2026 and 2027 and 2028? I don't know.
It's our man Mark Ramondi, guys, from ESPN. I hate the fact that Kirk Cousins is keeping us or holding us hostage. You know, it seems like, you know, we're not going to get a draft pick, you could argue, before this draft, so we're screwed there.
Well, Mike,
is that accurate?
His team and Kirk himself, and I don't want to speak for them, but they probably feel like the Falcons are keeping him hostage. Like, they probably feel like, you know, they could have just released him before the $10 million bonus kicked in earlier this month, right? Mm-hmm. And then he could go and sign a veteran minimum deal with a team, you know, on any team would probably want Kirk Cousins for that, right?
Right.
You know, with Atlanta paying his salary and, you know, like Russell Wilson did in Pittsburgh this year where, you know, Denver was eating all that salary and Pittsburgh got a starting quarterback for, you know, a bargain basement price. So, but even then you look at Russell Wilson, you know, as I was saying before, it's like Pittsburgh has pretty much moved on from him, you know, so it's like he was a one-year guy. Who they thought, you know, who did fine. They went to the playoffs, but they didn't, you know, they didn't blow the doors off anyone, right? So I don't think that the team that sees Kirk Cousins at this juncture, especially after how he ended the last season, as their, you know, as the guy that's going to be the cornerstone of their franchise as a quarterback for, you know, X amount of years.
But it just, I'm just saying that, you know, Kirk Cousins demands, at least what was reported from the conversation by Albert Breer with Arthur Blank, is I want to go to a team where I'm going to start, and you're not going to have anybody over your shoulder? Anywhere he goes, there's going to be an heir apparent. They're going to draft somebody.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. At 37 years old, I think that, you know, it's a pipe dream to expect a team not to have a transition plan or a future plan. If that's the case, that's not a very good organization, right? That doesn't have any kind of a plan when you have a 37-year-old quarterback.
Yeah. And again, you know, the idea of what we did last year was crazy until now it doesn't look that way, and we've got at least something to lean on. Falcons have first-round pick, second-round pick, fourth-round, 7-7, right? What's your sense of us trying to collect a few more picks here? I mean, five sounds great, but two of those are seventh-round picks, right? You're really rolling the dice, which means your first, your second, and your fourth have to hit. I would love to get a few additional picks. Probably, Mark, the only way to do that is to move back in this draft. Do you think that the possibility of that is high? What's the number that you would put on that based on what you know right now as we're about a month away?
I don't think it's very high, and I think that's certainly something that the Falcons would love to do, and I think that's something that they're going to try to do. They're definitely going to make those calls to anyone in the back half of the first round, right? The problem is that I think that the Falcons see the draft like a lot of other teams see the draft, in that there's a lot of there's a depth of talent, and you might not be getting a better player at 15 than you would get at like 42. There's a lot of there's a lot of solid players in this draft. There's a lot of depth. There may not be a lot of, you know, future all first team all pro guys after, you know, the first few picks, but there is a lot of depth, especially where the Falcons need it, which is, you know, the front seven, edge rusher, defensive tackle, even corners. You'll probably get a decent guy in the second round. The problem is that every other team knows that too. So why would you try to trade up unless there's really someone? I mean, look, it's possible, guys. Let's say someone falls. It's you know, it's the first night of the draft. Some stud player falls to 15. Then maybe a team from the second half of the first round might want to trade up to the Falcons and give them picks for it, you know, in the second and third round. That's possible. But as of right now, I think it's a little bit of a hard sell because a lot of teams are figuring, well, maybe I can get my guy at 28, the same level of guy that I might get at 15.
It's our man, guys, Mark Raimondi from ESPN.com. Join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. So position-wise, we're all set. I asked Chris earlier with Carl about Ryan Neuzel. There's really been nothing with the center position, so we just assume that at some point they're going to give him a slight raise from last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was a restricted free agent, so they tendered him. So I think his cap hit is like in the $3 million range right now. And as long as no other team comes in and, you know, the Falcons have the right to match, basically. So I would expect him to be on. I would expect him to kind of be the starting center, but they're going to bring someone in, I'm sure, at some point to compete with him, whether that's a free agent or maybe they draft someone in the fourth round or if they can get another pick, maybe they can draft someone, you know, to kind of be the center of the future. But, yeah, I think as of right now, Ryan Neuzel is probably the starting center for the Falcons.
Before we let you go, just a couple more things. Mark Raimondi, follow him, guys, on social media as well. I wanted to ask you about, you know, the offseason. Have you had a chance to talk to some of the guys this offseason? I know that you're working on a variety of stories, but I'm just curious because we really haven't heard, Mark, from a bunch of players about the situation and circumstances that are going on with this team. I know these guys have the offseason and it's their time to get away, but we're approaching the draft, and a lot of times, you know, you start to hear things from players who are being asked what they think the team should do or what they're doing or, you know, what they're doing this offseason. What's your take on guys kind of just staying away? And I know it is the offseason, but I find it interesting because of the Kirk Cousins situation. It's almost like nobody's talking.
Yeah, what I find interesting, and I have talked to a few guys, not necessarily on the record, right? I mean, I talked to a few of the guys, but you know, I think that there's a feeling that this is an offense that could be very good. I feel like that's something that the entire organization feels, and the players certainly feel that way. I think that they feel like this could be a very good, you know, a top 10 level of offense. And I think that there is obviously questions about the defense, but also some hope that, okay, maybe this was a schematic issue. Maybe it was a system issue with Jimmy Lake. And, you know, Jeff Ulbrich is a much more seasoned defensive coordinator. He's been the defensive coordinator for top five defenses. He's going to come in, even with maybe personnel that's not, you know, that's of average or above average. Maybe there's no star players outside of the Jesse Bates and the A.J. Terrell and so forth. Maybe his system will improve. And maybe some of the guys that they're bringing in who are not high-profile free agents like the Morgan Foxes of the world, right? Maybe those are guys that fit in the Divine Diablos. By the way, top 10, maybe top 5 all name team in the NFL, Divine Diablos. Maybe these are guys that fit in the Jeff Ulbrich scheme, what he wants to do, and that alone is going to allow them to be a better defense. And look, if they have an offense they hope they can have, and if they have a better defense, could be good enough to win the division, right? Because it's not an incredible division.
Just need the guys they drafted the last couple of years to step up on defense, basically.
100%. I mean, you need the Rucarorros, you need the Zach Harrisons, you need Arnold Ebiketie, who, you know, really he broke out toward the end of last year. If he can continue that, he'd be on like a double digit sack pace, right? If he played like he did the end of last year, again, he's got to do it. We projections are one thing. He's got to do it, and that's what they got to hope for.
Mark, great stuff, man. We'll talk soon, brother. Appreciate you jumping in, and stay safe. We'll talk to you here in a few weeks as we get ready for the draft.
Thanks, guys.